Yeah, it's what's going on in our hearts that matters. So it'd be good, great to meet to pray on Tuesday if you're available. And now it's time for the tribe and Ablaze to go and have some fun upstairs.
Yeah, it's great that ATG mission to India, to know that from the generous gifts a couple of years ago, all the money went into boring a well in a village in India, which bears the name of like New Life Church, is forever there. And it would be lovely to have a church in Bassett Street, wouldn't it, in a village in India as well. So they're very excited that we're giving to that. So just pray about what you could give to that. Wonderful. Here we go. Wise men still seek him. It was posted that I remember one of my school friends having up. I became Christian when I was 17, and at school, one of my friends had that up. I've always, at this time of the year, I always think about that. You might think it's a bit of a, maybe a twee saying, but actually it speaks a lot to me that wise men still seek him. Does somebody want to shut one of those doors, do you think? I think we'll be okay for ventilation for if one of them shut. Because we got this one open here, so I think we're okay now. I'd like us to just stand and pray and think about these wise men and the journey that they took. Father, we just thank you for being here together, Lord. Some of us may have traveled a distance, but none of them traveled the hundreds of miles that those wise men traveled that day to find this baby Jesus that they'd seen in the stars and in the prophet, the Old Testament prophet that they must have read somewhere. And we thank you for the sacrifice, the danger along the road. They were determined to see this person and to bring their gifts, Lord. Father, we pray we learn something from them, Lord, and you put in our hearts a seeking, a hunger. Lord, we admit that our hearts sometimes get tired of seeking, tired of life even sometimes. But we thank you that you're a God of revival, Lord. And you revive our hearts. We pray this morning as we're just here together that you would revive our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, it's my great privilege not to have to wear this while I'm preaching this morning. A moment of freedom. So, yeah, the subject we've been looking at the last 3 weeks is gold, frankincense, and myrrh, the gifts of the wise men. This is the last one of the trilogy. And as Luke pointed out last week, these gifts were really very strange gifts, weren't they? Who would ever give a newborn baby gold? Maybe gold something? Yeah, okay. Frankincense? Probably not. Myrrh as well? Wow. What's all that about? But there was something about these gifts that were very important. There's something that they seemed to understand. And as we studied this, it's kind of come alive to me, listening to Bob and Luke the last couple of weeks. I found it quite exciting. And when I started to study this third gift, the gift of myrrh, I discovered that gold, frankincense, and myrrh, they were all found in the holy place. That was the place where God chose to live when Israel were traveling through the wilderness. Do you remember the story? They came out through the Red Sea, and for 40 years they were wandering around this wilderness, this desert, before they got into the promised land. So in the middle here, this is the camp of Israel, and then these are the priests around the outside, the tribe of Levi. And there's a little thing in the middle there. It was called the tabernacle, or the tent of witness. And that's where God decided for those years he was going to dwell on earth. And in the very center of the tabernacle, there was another tent that was called the holy place, where only the priests could go. So the children of Israel, they brought sacrifices, they were allowed into the tabernacle, but they weren't allowed into that place, which is the holy place. Only the priest could go in there. And this is a bit like a Russian doll. I love those things, you know, that you kind of take one apart and there's another one and then another one, another one. And so inside this tent, there was yet another tent that was called the Holy of Holies. And into that place, just once a year, one man was allowed to go into God's presence. Moses seemed to be able to get in there. I never quite worked that one out. But certainly he got near enough to hear God's voice. But officially, there was only one man, the high priest, who was allowed in there. And in that place, we find all three of those ingredients, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Bob shared the first week about the gold. And here in right in the tabernacle, there was that Ark of the Covenant, which was a big box that was covered in gold, and it had the Ten Commandments put inside them and a couple of other things. That was right in the middle. And so that gold spoke, Bob explained, about divinity, about the kingship of Jesus. And then Luke explained about this kind of smoke around the Ark of the Covenant, which was the incense. And one of the ingredients of that incense was frankincense. And then the one that I want to talk about today is myrrh. And you can't actually see that, this myrrh, in that picture, because that it was actually just a perfume that was on the priest. You could have smelt it if you were near him, but you couldn't see it because it was this holy perfume. And it was made, one of the main ingredients was myrrh. And myrrh is made from a thorny tree that is cut, and then the resin flows out of the tree. And of course, it's a beautiful picture of the cross, isn't it? Of how all the life that we have comes out of the death of Jesus. And they cut that tree and cut it again and cut it again. Whenever they needed the myrrh, they cut into the tree. And there is, as somebody said, there's no throne without a cross. And there's no oil without the cross either. So these gifts point to something amazing about Jesus. Bob shared how the gold pointed to Jesus, the servant king. And I love the way that he contrasted Herod with Jesus, because Herod had no faith. And so he had to manipulate his way through life. And don't we do this sometimes? We don't trust God, so we feel we've got to control the situation. Whereas faith says, okay, God, I'll let you deal with this. And we don't have to barge in with our will and our way. And many times I felt God slapping my fingers, saying, let me deal with this. But Herod couldn't do that. So he had to kill all the babies. It was the only way he could control the situation. But God was one step ahead, wasn't he? He'd taken Jesus out of Nazareth and he was on his way to Egypt. And then Luke shared about the altar of incense and how Jesus was the great high priest, which might not excite you. But remember that priest, that Old Testament priest, was allowed right into the presence of God. And whether we realize it or not, it's the privilege of every believer to go into the presence of God. And so Jesus went into heaven by his own blood. After he died on Calvary, he went with his own blood into the heavens, the Bible says. And he there stands to intercede, to be between us and God, and to allow us, who are now a kingdom of priests, to have access to God all the time. And we just take that for granted, don't we? The fact that we could get up this morning, we could just talk to God, we can come here this morning, we can worship him, we don't tremble with fear in his presence, because the great high priest has gone first. And then the third thing, and this is what we learn about the myrrh, is that this myrrh was part of the anointing oil called the holy anointing oil. And it speaks of Jesus, the Messiah. And that's what I'd like to talk about this morning. So this word Messiah, this word Jesus, the Messiah, we find it in Matthew chapter 1 and verse 1. the book of the genealogy of Jesus Christ. You're really good at flipping through these slides unexpectedly, Phil. I just want to explain that when we read that in Matthew 1:1, the book of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, it's actually talking about the Messiah. In the living, the New Living Translation, it says, "This is a record of the ancestors of Jesus." That makes more sense. We understand that, don't we? Of Jesus, the Messiah. So this word Christ, whenever we read the word Jesus Christ, the word Christ comes from a Greek word Christos, which means anointed, the anointed one. The word Messiah comes from a Hebrew word, which means anointed one. If you asked a Messianic Jew, he would talk about Yeshua HaMashiach, I think. And that word Mashiach is the Messiah, the anointed one. So whenever you find Christ in the Bible, it means the anointed one. And we just think it's like the surname that goes on the end of Jesus, but it actually describes the fact that he was anointed for a purpose, to save humankind, to destroy the works of the devil, to open the way to heaven. That's our Jesus. In Exodus 30, verse 22, it says this: "The Lord said to Moses, 'Take the finest spices of liquid myrrh, 500 shekels, and of sweet-smelling cinnamon, half as much, that is 250, and 250 of aromatic cane, and 500 of cassia, according to the shekel of the sanctuary, and a hin, whatever that is, of olive oil,'" a big lot of oil. And so they mixed it all together, and it became this perfume. And it says in verse 25, "You shall make of these a sacred anointing oil, blended as by the perfumer. It shall be a holy anointing oil." So what did they do with this oil? Well, the first thing they did is they anointed everything they could find in the tabernacle. So this picture of the tabernacle here, the bronze altar, the bronze laver where they washed, the priests washed their hands, the golden lampstand where there was light in the holy place, the table of showbread where they ate bread around a table together, the altar of incense, which is the thing that Luke talked about, and the Ark of the Covenant in the holy place. Everything in there had to be anointed with two things. It had to be touched with blood, the blood of the lambs and the goats and the rams, because they had to be redeemed. And then they all had to be anointed with this holy anointing oil. And that speaks to me about Bassett Street Church 2022, that everything here, all the activity, the greeting, the caring, the praying, the preaching, the serving, everything in your homes, because we are the body of Christ wherever we are, whether you're a shining witness in the workplace, whether you're raising a family, a Christian way, God wants to anoint everything in the body of Christ with oil. And unless it's anointed with oil, it's not going to work, basically. I think that's the message of this. And then there are the people that were anointed by oil. Do you know that every prophet, every priest, every king in the Old Testament that was anointed for their role was anointed with oil? And it's a picture, of course, of the Holy Spirit, isn't it? It's a picture that everything that we are called to do, we need the Holy Spirit, the anointing of the Holy Spirit. I beg God for the Holy Spirit on a regular basis, not just this morning. But, you know, when I come to the prayer meeting, I pray, God, please send your Holy Spirit amongst us. And if I'm having coffee with somebody, I'll say, Lord, please would you bring your Holy Spirit into the situation. You know, we cry out for the oil of the Spirit, because unless we have him, then it's not going to work, is it? So what are you called to? What are you called to? We're all called to different things. We all have a unique calling. And that calling even changes, doesn't it, as we go along in life. But what are you called to? Because God wants us to walk in our calling. He wants us to walk close to God's will. And the closer we get to his will in our lives, the more we can cry out for that anointing, because God will anoint us if we are in his purpose and serving him. Another thing about this anointing oil is that it wasn't, you weren't allowed to imitate it. It says that no one can make a perfume like this one, made of those different ingredients. If you did this with the incense, the Bible says you will be cut off from the people, which is a very nice way of saying you'll die. That it was utterly forbidden that they would imitate the incense or the oil. And this is what the devil does, doesn't he? And that's what religion is. It's a copying of what is of God. And God doesn't want us to copy things, does he? He wants us to have the reality in our lives. He wants the Holy Spirit working in our prayers, in our lives, in our friendships. The real thing. I believe in the fruit of the Holy Spirit, the love, the joy, the peace, the kindness, the faithfulness, the gentleness, the self-control, all these amazing characteristics that we need. We need the fruit of the Holy Spirit. I believe in the gifts of the Holy Spirit, that we need to be able to pray for the sick. There was a wonderful testimony at the beginning of the meeting where dear Sophie, Anna's daughter, I don't know how many of you met or know Anna, but she rang me earlier in the week and said, Sophie's gone to hospital. She's had a stroke. She's only 19, I think she is. So she was rushed to hospital and she said, could you tell some people to pray? So I got in touch with a few people and said, please pray. Praise God, she's back home. They did an MRI scan. They couldn't find anything. They did another scan. They couldn't find anything. She'd lost the mobility on her right-hand side. She couldn't talk. When I spoke to her on the phone the day before yesterday, she said, all I could do is think. But God saved her. You know, because we have a God who answers prayer. And we need supernatural power, the power of the Holy Spirit, don't we, in our witness for him. So I'm up for anything we can get. But I want it to be the real thing, not a pretend thing. Isaiah 61 prophesied about Jesus being this Messiah, this anointed one. It says in Isaiah 61 verses 1 and 2, and Jesus repeats this after the Mount of Temptation. He goes out into Nazareth to the synagogue, gets hold of the book of Isaiah, and he reads this out to them. And he says, this is me. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to those who are bound, and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. I was reading that verse the other day just in my own devotions, and I saw something new in it. It's I think it's in 2 Corinthians 3, and it says, now is the day of the Lord's favor. Now is the acceptable time. Now is the day of salvation. Now is the day of the Lord's favor. And it says, in the day of the Lord's favor, he listened to me. And in the day of salvation, he helped me. What a wonderful thing that we have in prayer. That God will listen to our every prayer, and that he doesn't just listen, but he helps as well. And that's tied up with this verse here. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor, to bind the brokenhearted, proclaim liberty to captives, and open the prison to those who are bound. On Saturday, anybody that wants is invited to come and join us on Queen's Crescent. I don't even know if you know that shop up there called Tiger. I think it's a kind of like sweet shop or something. But right opposite that, the chief inspector of the market seems really keen for us to be there. Theo's his name. Say hello nicely to him when you see him. I just rang up about it and said, you know, would we be able to do something? He sent a message back saying the answer's yes. And yes, it was there. He found space for us. The stall holders are very nice. Oh yeah, that would be nice. So we're going to be there and we're going to be proclaiming, aren't we, the year of the Lord's favor, that God will let anybody in to this incredible salvation that we have. But we need the Holy Spirit, don't we, for that. As we sing, may God anoint our singing. May he give us boldness if there's a few of us just milling around talking to people. The year of the Lord's favor, we're proclaiming it. So this is our job. In Acts 1, verse 1, we have this incredible verse where Luke, he's writing to this guy, Theophilus, and he says, I've dealt with all that Jesus began to do and teach. And the key word in there is began, that Jesus didn't stop there at his resurrection. We are the continuation of his work. We're the only ones who can proclaim the day of the Lord's favor. And he wants us to be praying for the brokenhearted, and praying for those in need. And we have this Holy Spirit to help us with this. When I was, in a hospital with, I had a long journey. I had about a 3-week wait in the Whittington Hospital before they gave me this operation. And I met some wonderful people there. The amazing thing about being in a hospital ward, particularly one where you're all in fear of dying, is that it's an incredible leveler. So next door to me, I had a politician who was trying to run a major political event that was happening that Saturday from his bed. There was a crane driver opposite me. I had in one corner, I had a lecturer and another guy near me who was a complete alcoholic. And the thing was that we had fellowship because we had the same thing in common. One person goes out of the ward, the next person comes in. What's wrong with you, mate? You know? And so I'm not a very brave Christian, but for one guy, I thought, Lord, please, you know, give me the boldness to say something. And actually being asked what my job was a bit of a head start. So at least they kind of knew what I got up to, though they had no clue what pastors were, really. This guy, he really did seem on death's door. And I thought, I've got to talk to him. So we had a lovely chat. And at the end of it, I said, look, I said, I don't know if you believe in prayer. I said, but I do. And I've seen some amazing answers to prayer. And I'm going to pray for you. Is that all right? And I'm not as brave as Michelle, so I didn't lay hands on him and pray there and then. But I was able to go back 2 or 3 days later and find him in another ward, and he hadn't kind of like picked up his bed and walked, but he hadn't died. He hadn't died. And he will always remember that I, a Christian, prayed for him and he didn't die because he was in serious danger of it. So we just need to pray, don't we, for that, you know, for the opportunities as they come along. And try and get a bit better at it. I'm trying to get better. In Acts, oh yeah, just want to flip back to a verse, Luke 3:21. Just want to finish with this idea, really, of how do we get more of this anointing oil, more of the Holy Spirit? You know, if we are born of God, if we are born again Christians, we have the Holy Spirit. No question about that. But how much of the Holy Spirit do we have? Some people talk about the fullness of the Spirit. Some people talk about the baptism in the Spirit. Some people just talk about us just having the Holy Spirit. I'm not really bothered by the kind of definitions. I just feel the need for much more of the Holy Spirit. And Jesus himself, in Luke 3 and verse 21-22, he went to be baptized, age 30. 30 was the age that you had to wait if you were a priest to become a priest. So Jesus, who was fulfilling the law, age 30, comes to John the Baptist and says, I need you to baptize me. And John the Baptist says, I can't possibly baptize you. You need to baptize me. And Jesus said, well, let righteousness be fulfilled. Just baptize me. And then when he comes out of the water, and this is one of my favorite parts of the Bible, Luke 3:21. It says, and when Jesus also had been baptized and was praying, the heavens were opened and the Holy Spirit descended on him in bodily form like a dove. The first key is he was praying, wasn't he? He came out of the water and he was praying. And as he was praying, this is what happens when we pray. Heaven opens, the Holy Spirit comes down. And the verse that I haven't put in here is, and the Father spoke. And if we want God to be speaking to us, for the scriptures to be coming alive to us, if we want a living walk with God, if we want the Holy Spirit to fill us and to be more part of our lives, we must pray. We must pray. So that's how Jesus received the anointing. Now, he was always the Christ. There was no question. The day he was born, he was the Messiah, wasn't he? But yet, he still needed that. And he didn't start his ministry until that moment when the Holy Spirit had come down upon him. And I find that a remarkable thing. Immediately, he's tempted, and then he goes into Nazareth and says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. And then for 3.5 years, we have the most extraordinary miracles that the world has ever seen happening upon earth. So what about us? Just one verse, Acts 1:14. It says this, and all these with one accord were devoting themselves to prayer. And as I bring this, you know, to an end this morning, I really, really want to suggest that there are two things here that I personally believe we're going to really need. In fact, I would say these are probably the most important things for me for next year, or any time really. The first thing is they were devoted to prayer. Now, how many of us could put their hands up and say, I'm good at prayer? Not many, really. The world is against our prayer. The devil is against it. Our flesh is against it. Everything is against us praying. So it's always going to be a bit of a battle. There's rewards for prayer, and prayer is a wonderful thing. But to actually get down to it and to pray is hard, isn't it? But when the disciples went to Jesus, they said these incredible words, Lord, teach us to pray. Please take that prayer on your lips this Christmas time. Lord, in 2022, teach us to pray. Teach me to pray. Romans 7, I think it says this. It says, we do not know how to pray as we ought. We don't know how to pray as we ought. But the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We don't know how to pray. We're all in the same boat, aren't we? And even now, I've been a Christian for many, many years. And yet I still feel I'm just a beginner in prayer. But I'm praying, teach me to pray. Lord, teach me to pray. Help me in my weakness. And that's a wonderful thing to pray. The second thing is, it says, and it's the first thing in this verse, they all with one accord. Do you know, it says that they were all together in one place. So we are all here in one place, aren't we? But are we together in one place? That's different, isn't it? You know, the unity that God wants to bring may be much greater than the unity that we feel. And one thing is for sure is that to be disunited is an offense to the Holy Spirit. And he will always choose to move on, in my experience, I believe, you know, where we will not settle grudges, where we will not settle disputes. The Bible says, make every effort to be at peace with all men. Now, that's our responsibility, isn't it? Don't have a little go. It says, make every effort. So if there are areas of our lives, maybe in our families and whatever, that we're not reconciled, then let's make every effort. Sometimes this has to be unilateral. That means that there's actually nothing you can do about it because they hate you. and it happens, doesn't it? But you can do your part and be gracious and forgiving and pray for God's grace to do that. And then at least, you know, God won't pass you by. But as a church, if we can have love and unity, that's going to be an amazing thing. And Psalm 133 brings the whole thing together. Behold how good and pleasant it is when brothers dwell together in unity. What's it like? It's like the precious oil, this anointing oil, Aaron's oil on the head, running down on the beard, even on Aaron's beard, running down on the collar of his robes. Some translation says even to the skirts of his garments, all the way down the body. That anointing oil just, you know, came on his head. And obviously there was quite a lot of that oil because it flowed all down his garments. The Bible says neither giving or taking offense. How many of us have walked through life? How many of us have even walked through this week not giving offense? We don't even realize, do we? We could have every good intention in the world. We'll probably offend somebody. So we can't stop offending people. We don't want to go out of our way to offend people. And we should try not to offend people. But we'll never get through life without offending somebody. Jesus offended people, didn't he? But we can do something about never taking offense. And you know, there are so many things. Do you know, the closer you are to people, the easier it is to take offense. My dear wife, who's gone now? you know, I think even in a marriage, when you've been married for many years, you're very committed to each other. But maybe because of that, that you can take offense because you would expect something to be different. You'd expect a higher standard. And I'm sure I've offended Joe many times. And so, you know, even in, you know, the strongest relationships, we're still dealing with offense. And we can't just let it go. We need to try and deal with those things. But we start with dealing with them in our hearts, don't we? And we have to forgive. What's the last thing up there? Praying together in 2022. I'm sorry to give you a slogan, but for me, this is the slogan for next year, that if we're going to see God move in this place through these people, through us, through you and I, then we will need to pray and we will need to covet agreement and unity and love between ourselves. So shall we just have a little pray? Lord, we thank you that your word says that you had the Spirit without measure, that you were limitless when it came to the Holy Spirit in your life, because there was nothing in you that offended the Father. We thank you for your example, Lord. And yet even you needed to pray, Father, for that work of the Spirit at your baptism and as you walked those 3.5 years of your ministry on earth. You were always finding that secret place where you could open your hands and let the Holy Spirit descend and fill you and anoint you for the work that you were doing. You're such a wonderful example, Lord. We thank you that you are the Messiah. You are the anointed one. You are the Christ. Father, we thank you for the privilege of being part of the body of Christ, the church. Lord, under that anointing of our great high priest, Father, we thank you that we are in you, Lord. You've allowed us to come into your church, into your body, Lord. Lord, we want to pray about these two things today, Father. We want to pray about prayer. And we want to just say, Lord, teach us in this coming year. Teach us over Christmas time, Lord. Teach us what we need to do, how we can increase, how we can change, how we can make room in our stable, Lord, for you. Father, teach us to pray. Don't let these words, Lord, land on deaf ears, Lord. Don't let these words land on stony hearts, Lord. Would you make our hearts soft, Lord, that you would teach us to pray, that we would be known to you as a praying church, Lord. Father, we bring this thing of unity, Lord, because I have no idea, Father, of people's relationships. I have no idea. People have no idea of my relationships, Lord. Only you know, Lord. And we know that you love love. You love unity, Lord. And Father, we pray, Father, in this season that you would shine your light upon our hearts, Lord, and show us if there is, as David prayed, any offensive way in us, Lord. Father, any unforgiveness, any bitterness, Lord, any root of bitterness by which many are defiled, Lord. Father, none of us find this easy. But we just pray, Lord, would you help us with this, Lord? Thank you that you listen and you help, Lord. We pray you'd hear us today, Lord, and answer this prayer. In Jesus' name, amen. I suggest the musicians might like to go home early today, though we very much value them. And I thought if we needed to, we could always have sung a cappella, couldn't we? Oh, come, let us adore him. But I don't think we need to, really. I think, you know, these are important things, aren't they? And good for us to just go away, really, and just dwell on this thought. Lord, teach us to pray and teach us to love one another. Amen.
Should we just close with the grace together? Who wants to lead us in the grace? Susanna, go on. You just had to stand up. Do you want to lead us?
May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all and evermore. Amen.
Well done. Thanks, Susanna.